ladies and gentlemen, the time has come. The crazy train has arrived at the station, and this Thunderdome Letter Reviews mess that we've been in for 400, this being our 409th episode, has come to a crossroads to where we must enter the crazy train and go on a journey. But with me, as always, on this journey is the Reverend Ben Lindsay, the Dr. David Pizzo, and the Murder Basement, Gabe Cooper. How y'all doing tonight, gentlemen?
How it goes, Tracy.
I'm going off the rails.
You're going off the rails hard. Dr. Murder Basement.
My wife says she's ready to be off this crazy train.
Oh, I'm sure she I'm sure she is. And yeah.
Just two words, Tracy. Too late.
Too late.
She's gonna have to say goodbye to romance, I guess. I don't know.
Too late.
It's 2L8. That's how you say it.
Number 2L8. So why we just decided that instead of Guar or Paradise Lost, now it was Ozzy. Is that what happened essentially?
It is. And we haven't done any of the Prince of Darkness, Ozzy Osbourne and stuff solo albums. So what better chance to do it than October?
Yeah. We'll have a healthy keeping of Ozzy Osbourne by the time this is over with.
There's some spooky, scary skeletons occasionally. There's a little bit of spooky. Not as much as maybe I remember it actually, but now I've also listened to Skid, so who knows?
Yeah.
My mind is deviating far. But I will say it was fun because, again, this is one of those things that you hear in, you know, pool halls and shit. And you're like, okay, breweries. I don't know. It's some of the heaviest shit I'm going to get hanging out at a microbrewery.
Yeah.
I mean, and to be fair, like, at least for guitarists of mine and David's age, like, this was kind of one of those, the solo for Crazy Train was one of the things that
when
that, you were like, you knew you were pretty good at guitar.
I mean, as we're going to talk about, when he dies, it's they take a hit, a bad one, in my opinion, but we're going to get into that in a couple albums.
We will. Let me go ahead and drop the knowledge on
it.
It was released, it is Blizzard of Oz, Ozzy's first solo album after being fired by Black Sabbath, released on September 20th, 1980 in the United Kingdom, not released until the 27th of March in 1981 in the U.S., which kind of makes sense as far as, while this is the first album recorded with Randy Rhoads, the video for Crazy Train was not actually recorded until after he passed away in early 82. Or maybe not early, but in 82. it was recorded in Ridge Farm Studios in Rusper, England. Runtime of 39 minutes and 31 seconds. Jet was the label. Ozzy Osbourne, Randy Rhoads, Bob Daisley, and Lynn Kerslake were the producers. The band at the time was Ozzy Osbourne on lead vocals, Randy Rhoads on electric and classic guitar, Bob Daisley on bass and backing vocals and gongs. He also wrote most of the lyrics. Lee Kerslake on drums, percussion, tubular bells, and timpani. And Don Airey on keyboards. I will note that depending on which version of the album you listen to, those might not be the musicians, because Lee and Bob sued to get writing credits. They won the suit. Depending on who you talk to, either Sharon or Ozzy decided, got real mad about that and re-recorded the tracks with Robert Trujillo and Mike Borden on bass and drums, who were in his band at the time, and for the 2002 reissue. That has since been corrected, and it is the original versions that were released in the 40th anniversary edition.
Shit, dude.
Yeah.
So I was
scorched earth.
Original.
I'm not sure what I listened to.
I'm not sure, and I don't care.
It was the original. If you listen to it on Spotify, it is the original version.
I listened to it on Apple. What I know is Randy Rocals definitely plays guitar and backing vocals for Glenn Barnes.
Yeah, like my Scooby-Doo moment there.
What? Whoa. So the firing from Black Sabbath, what happened there? I have to confess, I don't.
Drugs, wasn't it? Like, he had gone heavier in the drugs, and the band was like, that's too much, dude.
I thought it was his indulgence in insanity, and I don't remember what role Sharon
played. I think it was he had There was a conception that his voice was shot.
Sure.
And that he could not perform in the studio, much less touring, if I remember correctly.
Well, that probably was true for a while. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they were wrong.
He pulled it out here.
He did.
I mean, I would not put him up against the greatest vocalist of our time, but, you know, he's
even at his best, he was never that.
That's accurate.
His voice is just definitive. Like, you know who it is the moment you hear it.
Crazy.
You're not gonna
especially when you layer it on top of itself, and you layer that on top of itself, and then you layer that on top.
Yeah, it's an Aussie fractal, dude.
Harmony vocals.
I think it's more of the...
I mean, they didn't have auto-tune, y'all, so let's just work with them.
Yeah, and I think this is really, on this album specifically, and it is Ozzy's albums, and so the guitars, everything outside of Crazy Train takes a much more backseat to his vocals on this. Like, obviously, this is very much an Ozzy on display, and when we... the early times me and Ben did Halford's first solo album, like, this is even more subdued than that is in terms of instrumentation, because that means
Fight
Halford's first album, like, solo album. It's a Halford.
Oh, yeah, not Fight. Not Fight. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. And so that one, like, and that one, they're like, here's the guitars. We're going, it's like Judas Priest. That's not Judas Priest, kind of like, but then in this one, it's very much him separating himself from Black Sabbath. And it's like, well, guitars aren't going to be the lead part here in a set. Drums is going to be, and bass are going to be very much down tuned in the mix as well. It's just vocals.
I won't say that the guitars were buried at all. I mean, I think they still remained a very important part, but Randy Rhoads was a completely different kind of guitar player than 100%. Thomas. So it just, shot as some adrenaline into the sound.
I also think whether it's Ozzy or Ozzy and Sharon or the producer or what have you, I'm sure it's a lot of forces that brought this to bear, but this is much more radio friendly than Sabbath.
Yeah. I was also going to say, like, I had no expectations coming into this because I'd never really heard this stuff before as an album. And I expected it to be darker, actually. And it is not. With the exception of, like, you know, Suicide Solution, it's just not. That said, I also wanted to respond to something Tracy was saying, which is that the guitars seem kind of subdued. That might be true, but I think that is also a product of Randy Rhoads just being much more confident and competent. And, like, he doesn't need to be out front in order for you to get what he's doing. Like, mm-hmm. I think... on the one hand, yeah, it could be like, this is the Ozzy show, but it's also that, like, he has some chops. Well, he clearly does.
If you listen to,
I mean, there's, like, different stuff going on in some of the different tracks, but, like, just leave aside Crazy Train for a second, like, Revelation, there's some, like, kind of neoclassical nonsense going on there. There's, like,
indeed.
You know, like, there's that, you know, acoustic, basically instrumental. So it's like, it's very versatile, and it's not sort of like one note. So I wasn't sad about the fact that it wasn't, like, so forward.
Yeah. And you're right on that. And I think part of it is also is even when a lot of bands, when they do have, like, a singer guitarist in the studio, they'll do lay down a rhythm track. In a sense, and I don't think there is a rhythm guitar track in the mix on these albums, on this album especially.
It's not really what this guitar is trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the bottom end is pretty much, but held down by the bass and drums. There are some verse parts, which I guess you could consider rhythm, but Randy also wasn't doubling his guitar in the same way that some of the stuff in Black Sabbath that Tony Iommi was doing. And I'm generalizing here because, I mean, that's a bunch of Black Sabbath albums, and not all of them had the same stuff on them. But
yeah, and I do want to say, as for content, and you could tell it, I think, in the later albums, that he pulls back on going even darker than as he did on this album. Because of the legal issues he ran into with Suicide Solution.
Possibly. I know that, like, he And you can tell this in the album covers. He really kind of, this one is not overly cartoony, the Blizzard of Oz album cover, but like as he goes forward for the next few album covers, they're really like kind of campy and like 50s horror movie grade.
But I think that also might like be in part with the resurgence of like the horror films in the 80s that you see.
Possibly, although it's a little early, but maybe so.
I'd be interested to know when you all heard this album first, because like obviously like what time you hear an album in will also have an impact on how it sounds, not just sounds to you, but how it sounds. Because I feel like hearing this album in the 80s would probably make it sound fresh, or at least a little bit fresher.
I mean, I remember when this shit was on the radio. Like, mostly it was like radio airplay that I heard. And then,
yeah, I probably didn't buy a copy of the album until the 90s. But like, I heard Crazy Train and Mr. Crowley and Suicide Solution. Maybe not Suicide Solution on the radio, but some of the other tracks, definitely the other two on the radio in the 80s. And, you know, this was, again, this was kind of, it's not a twin guitar attack, which Ozzy has never really done, but like the way Randy Rhoads plays is much more in the camp of the way the guys from Judas Priest or Iron Maiden are playing, as opposed to Tony Iommi.
Or Kerry King.
Yeah. So this,
for sure.
I've never actually listened to Blizzard of Oz from start to finish. My full-on introduction to Ozzy was his much later albums, like the early 2000s albums, like Down to Earth and that run there. And I've only recently gone back and heard a couple of these, I will just call them his classic albums. And this is the first time I think I've heard Blizzard of Oz from start to finish one sitting. But I mean, I've heard half the tracks off the album on some form of radio station, or because you got Crazy Train, Mr. Crowley, Steal Away the Night. I think Revelation has probably showed up a couple times. And maybe even Goodbye to Romance. So like this album still receives a lot of replay.
It does. That's probably the list I would give too. About half. Yeah. I never listened to this album straight through either, because why? Nor did I buy it. I don't dislike it, but it just, you know, I had some Sabbath, and then I was like, this got really campy. Because I didn't start listening to music intensely until the 90s, and by then it was. I bought some of those later albums, like Perry Mason. What album is that on? That
one, Osmosis.
Like, Osmosis.
Yeah,
because I like saw him at
I had Contemporary and Time. Sorry, same.
I had those, and I like saw them at Ozfest, obviously.
Yeah,
but like I said, multiple times. So, so I got on the ride later, but I was a tiny toddler in 1980.
I'm wondering if some of those tracks, and I've heard those tracks on like classic radio too, or you know, A&R, but I don't imagine that a lot of those got airplay at the time. I don't know that, but that's just
I have no idea. Yeah. I think they got some. I mean, I remember these songs from when I was a kid. I don't think they got nearly as much as they get at biker bars today. But
right.
Sabbath had gained some traction, but I think this was part of just the whole rise into Van Halen and. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of rock in the early 80s, man. So
is
I think
this, he, no, there right. was, but I mean, I'm just some of the deeper tracks is more
well. Oh God, no! But no, as no. you've said many times, man, it was weird to even try to have an album with 10 tracks where all 10 were supposed to be good.
Yeah.
Fuck it! Like four or five songs that they just recorded an afternoon with someone yelling at them from the production booth.
And yeah, like if you had like four songs that became singles and charted really well, that was a huge
precisely.
And this one definitely falls much more in the vibe of like the AC/DC we've done, the Ace of Spades with Motorhead we just done, like in terms of like sonic sound that it kind of much more closer to instead of what we see coming up in 3 years, post 3 years down the line.
For sure. I think the reason also why I was asking about how, like when it was that you heard this album is because for me, like this early 80s album does not sound like anything more than that, like, or anything less than that. It really didn't strike me as adventurous in the slightest, and it was surprising to me just because, you know, it's Ozzy who was in a band like Black Sabbath that was indeed trailblazing. Like it just was kind of they were doing experimental things like early on in their, you know, recording career, and those things influence other people to do even more weird and out there things.
For sure.
That, you know, changed the face of metal as we know it. And I didn't really find that here.
Yeah, I agree. I was a little, I mean, because I'd not listened to it straight through several times, I was struck by how, I don't want to say conservative exactly, but it's, yeah, it's not pathbreaking. It just sounds like a lot of the other music that was on starting to be on the radio in 1980. And that's fine, but it isn't really how I envision Ozzy, either in the early days or later. So it's a...
Yeah, to me, if this was innovative, and I don't know that it was, because, you know, again, 81, when this came out over here, what time did I say it came out? March? Yeah, I wasn't even fucking five yet. So if it was innovative at all, I think it was pushing this style of music towards more mainstream radio play. And again, like the influence that Randy Rhoads has on guitarists after him, because I mean, they still sell a bunch of Randy Rhoads guitars, and the dude's been deceased for 40 years now. Yeah. Yeah. But I do think
tracks.
Yeah, definitely tracks.
Sorry, you can go ahead.
No, so that's all I was going to say was that this is becoming more mainstream, bringing metal elements into more mainstream rock. And as we'll see, I will go ahead and say this now before we necessarily talk about the next couple albums. For the next couple albums, the amount of metal kind of decreases, and it's just more like what I would just consider rock and roll.
I agree with that.
So it's like a printer that's running out of ink.
This cover is ridiculous, y'all. Looking at it,
super duper ridiculous. But I will go first with tracks. I actually think there's a lot of good tracks on this album. I think that almost the entire first side, I Don't Know, Crazy Train, Goodbye to Romance, Suicide Solution is fantastic. I really like Mr. Crowley. That might be my favorite track off the album. After that, kind of goes off a cliff.
I think it starts with I Don't Know, Crazy Train. Goodbye to Romance is all right. I like Mr. Crowley and enjoy Revelation and Still Away the Night.
I think I'd agree that most of the first side is good. I'm not super into the slow jam, but whatever. I actually don't mind No Bone Movies. And I think just, you know, Revelation is too neoclassical for my taste. But there are quite a few good songs on here. I'm like almost tired of Crazy Train. I think like maybe a couple more spins and I'll just be done with it for like eternity.
But, yeah, that's it was like listen to Wagon Wheel. I'm like, Jesus, or whatever.
Wagon Wheel.
Why is this happening again? I was as an aside, I may have told you all the story, but we were in a place in Tennessee, and there was a sign on the wall that said, if you, the band, like any band playing there, if you play Wagon Wheel, you will not get paid and we will stop you from playing. It was just like this warning from the kitchen staff, like, motherfucker, if you play Wagon Wheel. No, it was up in Bristol. Don't you dare. So, yeah, no, there are a lot of good songs here. You've named them all. I do think the first side's a bit better than the second side. But I was struck, again, not to beat a dead horse, at how not spooky scary this was.
Spooky scary.
Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves.
I mean, you know. The fact that the song about porn has to be called No Bone Movies just shows how much of a different world it was at Indeed. The time.
No Bone Movies. And then I listened to a bunch of, there's so much live shit on this extended version, so I got to hear him live. He still had some pipes on him.
Yeah. Yeah, once he kind of cleaned up a little bit.
I mean, he's
But I mean, you know, I get it. It was kind of a revenge album, too, so.
Yeah, it had to be. Yeah, indeed.
Because I think the Ozzy solo albums are more financially successful than the
Black Sabbath
post.
No, of course. Well,
Ozzy.
I mean,
maybe not. Maybe the couple of the first Dio ones.
They may hope hard, but after that, no.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no. Well, there was a time, and we may or we may not get to it, because I don't remember where it is in their discography. But there was a time when it was just Tony Iommi was the only member of Black Sabbath.
You know, 100%.
And it was just like, crap, really. So, yeah. Grades? The asked question only for some reason.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Sounds like David's going first.
I don't know what to do with this. I'm having even more trouble with the next one. Because I know it's historically important. It's Ozzy. It starts that whole arc of stuff. It's influential. I feel like I have to give it a B plus. I'm not gonna put in A territory, and that's just me, but I understand how important it is. It's a B plus.
I'm right there with you. I was gonna give it a B plus as well, because I think that there are a lot of good tracks on here. Randy Rhoads is a legend for a reason, indeed. As Ozzy. And this is pretty solid, but it's still a bit campy in places and still a bit weak. You know, I'm going to vamp for a bit so that Tracy and Gabe can figure out their grades, which they probably already have. But Tracy alluded to the controversy around Suicide Solution. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was 1984, might have been 85. He was sued by the parents of a child who committed suicide. They said that he had been listening to Suicide Solution right before he committed suicide. Ozzy claimed on the stand that, you know, if you look at the opening line, he was talking about the death of Bon Scott. But the case was ultimately dismissed.
Satanic Panic. I mean, it's that same era. Yeah, it was shit, dude. Damn it, Tipper Gore.
Yeah. Well, I've got my mind made up in my grade. I'm right there with you guys, B plus. Just and it gives us some room to move, because I don't want to say this is the greatest thing either, but I don't want to. It gets a bit of a legacy bump for me, which is odd, because that really never happens.
Well, I will go ahead and say that I definitely don't think it's his best album.
Well, I'm just going to break with you guys slightly and give this an 86.5, so just between a B and a B plus. I couldn't really decide which was the appropriate grade, because like a lot of the songs have aged well. It's a good first effort. But again, I'm just tired of Crazy Train.
Dr. Cooper, now he can't go to medical school. That's your fault.
Also, you looking at me, looking at you, is the car is doing heavy metal. it's an amazing bonus track, which we should have talked about. But anyway, it probably isn't my favorite, although I can't say whether we will get to a favorite album. I don't know.
Yeah.
Would you buy this, gentleman?
I did. I probably will again.
I got mine now. I didn't then. B plus is my cutoff. So yeah, sure, I might buy this. It's very silly, but people know it. And as you say, you can play it for a lot of people.
It's perfectly fine. I would buy it.
Perfectly fine. All right.
I think it would too. I mean, our average is an 88. I mean, Gabe's 86.5 was enough to pull it down to where it went around to 87. So
see, it's not going to medical school now.
Well, I guess it's what happens.
Yeah, it didn't do the homework.
But an extra credit would be fine.
Speaking of extra credit, what is happening next, Tracy?
Next, we are doing our 500th episode. Our 500th album of Thunderdome Metal Reviews, as we look at a very particular band that can only be brought in such lofty terms as 500th episode.
Wow.
We've threatened it many times, and it's finally come. Vengeance has been laid upon us as we look at the kings of metal, Manowar.
We've been on the road.
Wow.
Be sure to turn that episode down so your speakers don't explode. So.
I mean, most bands play, but Manowar kills, dude.
Brace yourself.
Wheels of fire. Anyway, that's the album we're going to talk about next. And, you know, just know that that's like the warning label. Manowar is inside this. So
oh,
you take that the way you want to.
It's may very contain much, oiled up beefcake.
May contain no, Manowar.
May contain Manowar. This is definitely a smell the glove type situation. So
please don't smell the glove, by the way. Just
yeah, don't.
Hold up beefcake and leather. That's all you need to know.
The Tracy Newport story. So
hey, only on some occasions.
Only on weekends. Shison.
Yes.
Join us again next time on Thunderdome Metal Reads.